You are now listening to the Hunter's Advantage Podcast. We preserve the history and sport of hunting through curious conversation and action-packed hunts, as well as offering you tips and strategy for more successful hunts.
Welcome back to another episode of the Hunter's Advantage Podcast. This is episode 147. I'm your tentative host, Jacoby Gaylord, and I'm here with Dwight Schrute and Big Tuna. What's going on, guys?
Not much. How are you, Dwight?
Keeping it real.
Do you have to lean into your snowball mic like 8 feet?
Hello.
No, I was leaning back.
Oh, dude. March 23rd. What's on the docket today, Jake? What's our nice topic for this episode?
I think
I know nobody's been in the woods, so there ain't no hunt talk going on.
What do you mean, dude? I've walked 147 miles this year. Yeah.
And how many you got?
Zero. But that's beside the point. Today we're talking about the Total Archery Challenge. It's about to come upon us in Oklahoma. This would be the second annual, I believe, that it's been in Beaver's Bend. Christy and I went to the one last year. It's going to be Carol's first time this year. But before we get into that, how's y'all's bow shooting? Are y'all ready for it? You guys got it all tuned in, or what's the deal?
Carol?
Actually, Dave, I gave you a call earlier joking around. No, I don't. My rest went out on me about a week ago. I was out there shooting, trying to shoot at like 30 and 40 yards, just getting the rhythm back. And my rest quit coming up. So I had to go get a new rest, shot it at 20 yards. My arrow was fishtailing a little bit, but it's been super windy. I live in Texas, and we had a storm come through the other day, and I think we're getting the tail end of the wind. So I still have only been able to shoot at like 16 yards in my backyard, and today it's still even windy. So no, I have not been out to shoot.
Yeah. I think those rests only last what, like 2 decades before you got to replace them or something.
Well, yeah, you guys know that I bought my Elite from my cousin, and it came, you know, with a stabilizer and a rest. So I took that stabilizer off, put my good one on, and the rest finally went out. It's probably only like 13, 14 years old. So it was a pretty good one.
About like my release last year when it broke at tag. So
Jake's like, why my release break? I'm like, because I got that when I was 11. that's why it broke.
Got our money's worth, damn it. Let me tell you.
Last time you shot before a deer season last season, you would draw back with your bow, and yours is the quad rest, like that's like a V, right? But they usually have a containment bar on the top so the arrow doesn't come out. Peyton's didn't have that one, so when he drew back, one time the arrow just fell down and started flopping. He's like, hey, put my arrow back on there.
Dude, when I was in my hunt, you remember the deer that I killed in Oklahoma, the arrow fell off, and I was like, oh, well, this isn't good, and that was rattling around, but, you know, it still worked out.
Yeah. My bow's shooting good, in case you're wondering. I haven't got my new arrows set in or sighted in. I'm going from an Exodus MMT 300 spine to a 250, and they're a little bit heavier, and my bow was already shooting low, so I know when I get these 250 spine in probably on Monday, then I'm gonna have to resight my bow in, and that's not gonna be fun. But I plan on shooting 3D next week before we leave, going to the Austin Archery Club and shooting. But
how's that new back tension release? Are you gonna use that one, or are you gonna use the old Cobra?
I'm gonna use the thumb button. Yeah, I'm using that Stan Onyx. I better. It was like a $300 release. I got it for Christmas. I have to use it. It's nice.
How was the transition on that? Because like I know on an old TikTok, your very first time using the back tension, you didn't even release an arrow. So how was that transition?
It was hard at first. So the anchor points on an index finger release and on a thumb button, to me, were a little bit different. Like on where I chose to anchor, and I went to a bow shop, and I kind of like suicided all the way in on the thumb button release. I was like, hey, I want to set up to shoot this thumb button. You need to change my draw length and where my peep was. Cause I originally got into my index finger release, and my peep was like way too low like when I switched to the thumb button. So I had to like go down in like this to see, and I was never getting an anchor point. So I had him switch that, tie my peep in, and I kind of full suicided into it. I mean, thankfully I did get to shoot a couple deer before the season ended over or was over with that release. So I feel pretty good about it. I shot it probably 300 or 400 times now over the last few months. So I feel pretty good about it, but we'll see. Target panic could creep back in at 100-yard shots.
Maybe. So your form's there, but just about like all of us, you got to kind of tweak in those new arrows. But today is the 23rd. In 8 days, tags coming back around. So that's on the 31st of March. So basically, we just want to jump on here and talk a little bit about what tack is and what to expect if it's going to be your first time going. Now, I feel like this is a good podcast topic to talk about because Christy and I went to TAC last year, so we kind of know what to expect. But for Pate, this will be his first time to attend. So, Carol, I know you kind of you kind of heard us talk about a little bit about it, what's going on during TAC. But for this being your first time, what's your kind of expectations?
You know, when you think of archery shooting and you 3D shooting, I've done it around Northeast Oklahoma, you know, where we're from a little bit, pretty much like 25 to 55 yard shots. Never really shot, you know, 3D shoots before. So I went in, you know, talking to you guys thinking they were going to be tougher shots between trees and all that. But you guys really threw me off when you said, no, we're talking like 90 to 100, 110 yard shots. So wouldn't expect. Yeah, on the farthest one. So I wasn't expecting that. I've never shot, you know, I think the farthest I've ever shot was 90, and that was a prayer, you know, at the target just to see if I can even shoot a 90. I hit the target, but I've never practiced. You know, it's not something you go outside and practice shooting in those scenarios. Other expectations, you know, we're going to be with the boys. It's going to be in Broken Bow. It's an awesome place. So hopefully we go out, have some fun, you know, make some memories, and I not get so gassed walking around out there.
Go out and have some fun. What you mean by that?
So I'm not going to say, you know, too much, but it rhymes with Bud Light and Coors Light.
You mean Bush Latte.
Bush Latte. There you go.
So what's your arrow clearance kind of look like on your bow since you got it all switched around? Have you even went that far into like flipping the arrow around to see what your arrow clearance is?
Nope, have not. I've only shot at 15 yards. I took my sight tape off to go out and find my 20-yard shot the other day. Can't shoot at 20 yards when it's 20-mile-an-hour wind, so I hopped in the backyard and was just been shooting at like 16. I think it's like 16 or 17 yards. Just been doing that repetitive to get back in the groove. I found, you know, my anchor point and all that and was shooting really consistently. Obviously, it's not hard to shoot consistent at 17 yards. But yeah, I have not tried any of that. This is a probably do it on the Friday. Do on Friday, do it on Friday kind of thing.
I can't wait. I can't wait till Pate shoots at like 98 yards and tries to dial a sight and you just see carbon fly everywhere.
Well, the thing is, if you miss down at Broken Bow or Beaver's Bend, whatever you want to call it, chances are you're not finding that arrow. It's either going to get launched into the lake or it's going to hit a rock. And either way, that arrow is going to be toast.
Dude, I thought about that when we were shooting last year. I was like, this is an environmental hazard to what we're doing down here. Cause like we're launching arrows into the lake. Like arrows are skipping into the woods. Like no way, dude, there were arrows like 10 foot up in the tree that I'm like, somebody's going to have to come out and rip those out with a ladder. Like
they ain't ripping those out. Have you ever shot a tree before?
No,
you can't pull it. I have.
I have to.
I have. You can't pull an arrow out of a tree, dude. You just got to snap it off.
Yeah, we did some harm to the environment, but I guess they did not enough to get banned from coming back.
Well, Christy, I just want to tell you this. I had a phone call with another buddy not too long ago, and he listened to that last podcast where we talked about the Oklahoma Velvet season.
Yeah.
And I was debating on whether to tell you this or not, but he explained, like, he was like, dude, Christian's kind of a good speaker. And I was like, what you mean by that? He was like, well, who's that guy from Meat Eater? And I was like, Mark Kenyon. And he was like, no, the big dog. And I was like, Steven Rinella? And he was like, yeah. He said he kind of has like that sort of flow. And I was like, that's a pretty good compliment, I guess. He was like, yeah, but don't tell him that. And I said, oh, I probably won't, because I think he already has a big enough head as it is. And mentally and physically. But not messing. But he was like, well, to bring it back down to earth, you know, I don't think Steven's missed that many deer in his life. So, you know, just give him a compliment and then bash him. And so,
yeah,
I had to do that. But with your best Steven Rinella voice, you kind of want to describe what TAC is.
TAC for short stands for Total Archery Challenge. I went to school, so I know what an acronym is. That's what it is. TAC, it's basically like an extreme archery course. I was terrible at it. I was terrible at TAC the first time I went to, but it's a 3D course. So like Pate said, on a typical 3D course, you're shooting from like 25 to like 50 something yards. And on TAC, it takes everything to the extreme. So it's like, I don't think there's any shots under 40. And the furthest could be, you know, on a big game animal, 110, 120. And what's really cool is they try to make the shots very, very challenging. So they're up and down, like through trees. Sometimes I remember there was one particular target you shot last year that was like the vitals were against a tree and your arrow hit the tree, bounced off and still hit the foam. You're like, I hit it.
Well, that was a V in a tree. So there's like two little twigs like that. And you literally had to shoot through it. And I literally think my arrow was going through it and hit the side of one. And then the back end caught that other branch of the V and then ended up straightening it out. And luckily that branch was close enough to the target where it didn't deflect it that far. But yeah, I remember that.
That's the kind of stuff you're going to see at TAC, like shooting over water, shooting under limbs, over limbs. Like if you haven't shot your bow, you're going to have to trust yourself on the shots, but there's a varying distances and varying terrain. And I don't know how it is in other TAC events. Like I've seen the out west ones, there's a lot of up and down, but since this one is in Southeast Oklahoma, there's a lot of elevation change. And not only is it extreme archery, it's a workout, but it's freaking awesome. Like I would definitely recommend it.
There's this one, I think it was a bear, but you literally had to hold your bow. Like I'm not good with angles, but like 45 degrees up, I think. Mm-hmm. Isn't that how you say it? Or
yeah.
Yeah,
I think.
But, I mean, I'm not good with degrees. I think probably Carroll's the best at that. He has his master's degree. but with that being said, I think it would benefit some people to maybe touch on how to prepare for this event and what all needs to be brought. What are you laughing about, Carroll?
Yeah, it's just the master degree was hilarious.
Why? Because it's unnecessary?
I have 2 degrees.
Why?
Because I can only go up to 2.
Bachelor's and master's don't mean crap, just piece of paper nowadays.
That's new high school diploma. What was
$15 an hour, master degree required. Okay. No, just basically we need to touch on like how to prepare or what all people probably need to bring.
I thought Pate covered that. Shoot 17 yards in your backyard and then pray when you get there.
Yeah.
That's one way.
That's what I do all season, and 2 prayers were answered last year. I'm kidding. I'm kidding, guys. I'm kidding.
Kind of. I think you need, at a minimum, it depends. Like, we shot one course last season, and I think the first thing we said when we were leaving was like, man, we should have done that whole weekend. Like, that would have been really fun to stay and shoot a lot of courses. So you can shoot multiple courses a day. So depending on in a 3-day period, how many you plan on going, I would plan on losing no less than 6 arrows on a 25 target deal. So I'm not going out on a course with less than a dozen because depending on, you know, some of those targets are small, like a lynx or a fox or a turkey even. And then some are as big as like a, you know, a huge elk. So you really never know the distances. And so arrows are number one. I think you learned last season backup release is essential.
Yeah. Kind of like we touched on in the beginning, for basically ever, I was using Christian's backup release because I guess in the group I'm known as the tight ass basically. So, yeah,
basically, huh?
Yes. So I used Christian's old 14-year-old release and it did good for a long time, except during TAC, probably like halfway through or about halfway through, I go to draw back and of course it explodes on me. But luckily Christian had another one, and 2 of the guys we were shooting with that we met there, they had a backup, but his was like a back tension release and I never shot one of those. And I'm like, listen,
oh God,
I'm not about to take on that challenge right now. So I ended up using Christian's and thankfully it kind of lasted me throughout the
What was funny is your release broke because it was old and weathered, obviously. I pulled out one that was probably in as a bad or worse condition. And I was like, and I was showing him how it was starting to fray. I was like, well, good luck with this one. He was like, is this one going to break? And I was like, no promises. I mean, it's what I have though. He tried
better
to
hand, fingers.
He tried to hand you that back tension one, dude. That's like giving somebody a baseball bat and asking them to hit it like a driver. Like, it's not happening.
I hope y'all have an extra release because I don't.
I got one, but it's one of those kind that could work. It might not work.
I'm trying to think what else you need to bring. Oh, another one. Hydration station. I don't know. A lot of people have those like water pouch bags. I don't know what the heck you call them. Those aren't essential, but I would throw 3, 4, or 5 water bottles per person in your bag if you plan on shooting tack, because I don't know about you, but after the first 3 targets, I was like, it's going to be a long course because it was like up, down, up, down.
Yeah. Another thing would be, I would think like those little hex keys, those little Allen wrenches that you use to like adjust your bow size and stuff. Definitely throw one of those in there, because I think you try to use a cheaper / lighter arrow last year to try to get more distance out of your bow, but apparently those weren't like tuned as well, or
they weren't sighted in right,
and so you were trying to do some adjustments on the fly at tack, and like that's something that kind of takes away from the fun, especially if you're shooting with buddies and like you're like, oh, you know, let's keep track of how many you miss, how many I miss, and the winner gets bragging rights. Well, if the sight's messed up, then they kind of have a backdoor excuse. But we've had enough time in this group, because we're going to add a little bit more spice to these, to the Total Archery Challenge. Not going to say too much on the teaser or whatever, but bragging rights will be a thing, and we're going to let the world know about it.
As if it wasn't hard enough to just go and hit foam, we're going to add some more elements to tack. It's going to be really fun. Another thing I would say would be, like you kind of said a little bit, bring a sighted in bow. Please God, bring a sighted in bow, or you're not going to have fun. Because I remember I was shooting at one of the Rams, like a Desert Bighorn or something, and it was like 50 yards. And
I've never seen those in Oklahoma.
I know, it was crazy. But it was like 50 yards, and my sight was off like 7 or 8 yards. And so like I was like, well, I'm just going to trust it. I'll shoot it again. I shot it. Arrow goes right under the ram. It's against the water. I just see spark fly, and then my arrow skip across the water. I'm like, oh, $8 skipping away. It was terrible.
Whenever you just said skipping across the water, I forget the names of the two guys that we were shooting with, but there was some like carp or gar like right there by the bank in the lake.
No.
And this dude's super nice guy, but he was taking all the arrows that like I guess people lost, and he was putting them in his bag, like didn't care about the spine. It was like me like probably 5 years ago whenever I had like just a variety
miscellaneous.
The old miscellaneous quiver where it didn't matter the length, the weight, or the spine or anything like that. I put it in my quiver. Well, this guy was doing that because he was like, oh, dude, you know, like I'll use him eventually maybe. Well, he did. And it was
on target 3.
Yeah, on target 3. And he was launching arrows into the lake at like carp and gar and stuff, which is probably frowned upon. But still, yet he didn't hit one if there's any PETA lovers out there.
It was funny because when he shot, he obviously missed because the fish was still sitting there. But you just see little bubbles like trailing where his arrow went, just never be seen again. It was like, boom! And he was like, give me another arrow. It was so funny.
I'd have been best friends with that guy.
Dude, when we were younger, Jake and I, it was so stupid. But just if you put this on TikTok, you probably get banned these days. But we would tie, what was it, rope or fishing line?
Oh, no. It was like the thickest fishing line you could buy at Walmart. It was like
50 pound, 80 pound, like something.
50 pound. No, I think it's 50 pound. And the thing is, on a normal bow fishing rig, you would have like that spool that lets out the line.
Yeah.
We literally used a pencil and just ran it through the spool, I held it and Christian shot.
So compound bow. We put the string behind the broadhead or the fishing line, would shoot like carp and stuff. We sucked, so we didn't hit anything, but we'd shoot stuff. And
you hit a gar one time.
Jake would hold the spool, and I remember the bow would launch it at 300 feet per second. It would just go snap. And we're like, dude, what happened?
Well, that thing would go zzz, and then it'd like almost rat nest, and then it would snap. Yeah, but it was scary, dude. One time, the like line came off, and it was like burnt my finger just a little bit on the side. Thankfully, it didn't like wrap around my finger or nothing like that. But like, it burnt the side, and I was like, dude, like this is probably a dumb idea. But
we're so lucky that we have all our appendages from childhood. God, that was stupid. Oh, that was awesome, though. That makes me happy. That needless to say, we weren't the people shooting at the carpet tack, and we won't be, I promise. The Hunter's Advantage podcast is powered by Out on a Limb Manufacturing. Out on a Limb is a family-owned company based right here in Oklahoma that makes tree stands, saddle platforms, climbing sticks, and so much more.
Christian, I have a quick question.
What's that?
What bites down harder, a hippo or an alligator?
No idea.
It's a trick question. The Ridge Runner 2.0 bites harder than both of them. But all jokes aside, we use these products all across the land on public or private. These help us get into any tree we want and hunt where the deer actually are.
Most men go to the grocery store for their meat, but these products help you go to God's grocery store. I have used the Out on a Limb Ridge Runner 2.0 and the Shikar sticks for the last few years hunting public land bucks, and I've actually shot several bucks out of this setup. If you want to support the podcast and get some Out on a Limb equipment, make sure to go to outonalimbmfg.com and use code HNTA10 for 10% off at checkout. Once again, if you want to support the podcast, go to outonalimbmfg.com and use code HNTA10 at checkout for 10% off. Now let's get back to the podcast.
So another thing I would say on the arrow situation, yes, you could very well like get away, depending on how many days you go, you could very well get away with like only bringing a dozen arrows or so. But if you're going to shoot all 3 days, and I think there's a thing where they have a, after you shoot your course for the day, if you have enough time, you can go back and shoot another course for free, you know,
just, after 1 p.m. Yeah.
Right. And so with that being said, like if you only shoot one course, you could probably get away with a dozen arrows, but if you shoot more, I'd at least bring 2 dozen just to be safe. But I looked it up a few days ago and you and I lost 4 arrows on one course, but
that's it.
Yeah, that's it. But with that being said, and now granted, we found a lot of them we miss, like,
that's
and
true.
Somehow they weren't broken. But also, whenever you make a good shot on your first shot and she's like, hey, you know, like that group in front of us is being a little slow, we have time to like just launch another arrow real quick apiece. And, you know, no one's waiting on us from behind. So you think, you know, oh, I just smoked that first shot, I want to shoot another one. Don't do it.
You'll miss every time.
You will miss because I remember a cougar. We did that, like nailed the first one, and then the second shot zips right over its back and goes, and it's just like how.
I had that happen one time on a target, but I thought I missed on the first one, shot a second one, definitely missed on the second one, and I was like, well, I'm not losing 3 arrows on one target. I walk up and I had hit it the first time. I was like, awesome. All that arrow left me for no reason.
Yeah,
it's gonna be really fun. We only shot one course last season, so I don't really know what the topography was like on any of the other. We could have been on the toughest up and down or not, but I'm telling you, down in Broken Bow where we were hunting 3D foam,
hunting our arrows,
yeah,
trying to find them suckers,
swimming into the lake. no, it was. I had never really spent a lot of time down there apart from that one trip that we went fishing, and it is freaking beautiful out there. Like you look out on the lake, it's awesome. I'm excited to shoot there again. I think they picked a really good location for tack. I think Western Oklahoma would have been kind of boring. It would have been like every other 3D course you've ever shot, like the one in Northeast Oklahoma. Did you ever shoot the one in Catoosa, Pate?
No.
Which one did you shoot?
We went, it's just one in Nowata. We went, it was really fun. Dude was super nice there. I don't remember the name of it, but it was pretty fun.
Yeah. Anyways, this is shooting with a view at tack and Broken Bow. It's awesome. When we were looking for a place to stay, Jake and I were like talking, and we were like, dude, let's go as cheap as possible. Like we're not like to a point in life where we can like ball out on like a cabin or something like that. And then for some reason, Pate would not stop saying like, let's get this cabin, keep sending Jake and I the Airbnb stuff. So it was stuff.
Carol that had this idea.
Yeah, me and Jake were totally like, let's save money, right? There's no point in being this way. And Pate kept sitting in the cabin. And eventually, dude, just peer pressure, we just booked it. Like, we bankrupted ourselves, but we did get a pretty killer cabin for tech.
No, what happened was Christian was like, hey, AJ's going to pay for, you know, $300 worth. And then I was like, okay. And then we ended up buying a new camera. And then all of a sudden he's like, hey, yeah,
we're poor.
We're going to need an extra $100 a person. And I'm like, so this was the plan all along, huh?
The master plan. Yeah, exactly. Well, we did get a pretty baller cabin, and I don't think anybody's going to be arguing about the hot tub on Friday or Saturday night.
Well, it depends, because we're sharing it with two other dudes from Texas, and we already got two guys from Texas on this podcast right now. So four Texans, I don't know about that.
That's
four
true.
Texans, one hot tub. That sounds like a pretty raunchy video.
That could be a movie. That's funny. We are so we one of the things we kicked back and forth is the idea of doing some sort of meetup. Since we do have the cabin and we paid a bunch of money for it, we might as well utilize it to hang out with some of you guys. So we don't know exactly what day we're going to do it, but we are definitely going to do an HA meetup at our Broken Bow cabin. I think it's like 6 miles away from where everyone's shooting, but I don't know what traffic will be like in Broken Bow. It seems like it's like a one lane road going all the way through, isn't it?
It's there. Traffic's there. Trust me. Yeah.
Been there. It's one lane. Times.
Yeah. Oh yeah. That's where we have our family reunion every year. And it's just Broken Bow is a tourist spot. So the traffic is always bad.
You heard it here first. Traffic's going to be bad, but we'll probably post that on our Instagram story. So be looking out for that Friday or Saturday. We're not going to do anything crazy, but we will have some Bush lattes for everyone that wants to oblige in that. Sorry, Bush Apple. We're not that cheap.
Do they still make that?
I hope so. I know it was the last year of it. I think they might have stopped in December. I remember going into a gas station and seeing that they were like, this is the last season for Bush Apple. I was like, no, it's gone.
It's funny how that works. It's like, you guys, you're killing it. You have a good beer and you're taking it away from us.
Well, that's a good tactic, because like Taco Bell does the same thing. Like, they're nacho fries, dude. Where are they at? Can't get them. And then as soon as they
Taco order, Bell out of this.
Guess who's going as soon as nacho fries are back? This guy.
I felt that way about did you guys have the McDonald's like crispy chicken crunch wraps? Do you remember those?
Dude, there's a TikTok guy. Have you guys seen the TikTok guy that's like, hey, here for your chicken wrap or whatever, and they're like, sir, we quit selling those like a year ago. And he's like, all right, I'll be back tomorrow. And they finally they finally brought him back for the guy, I think. And like, he, what? Every single day he posted a TikTok, was like, I'm here for your chicken wrap. He's like, we don't sell those. He said, all right, see you tomorrow.
Didn't he try to order like all the day. Separate?
Yeah. He was like, all right, here's what I need to do. I need to get a tortilla. I need to get some cheese. I need some lettuce and some chicken. She said, see you tomorrow.
That's awesome. What else do we miss about TAC? Did we not share everything that people need to know about Total Archer Challenge? I mean, besides our mantra, if it's home, it's home. That's all you need to know. Like, if that arrow hits foam, baby, have a good time. Keep moving. That's the only advice I'd have.
Maybe. We're going to have some new some TAC videos coming up, hopefully shortly after tech happens, and it's not going to be so simple on foam at home unless you get extremely lucky.
If you're catching what I'm putting down.
Yes. So what we're saying is be on the lookout for those videos a few days after tech. I think they're going to be really good because I think we all put a lot of time and effort into really thinking about this. So
yeah, you've
be on the lookout for that.
It seems like if you've seen the tech videos, if you've seen one, you've seen them all. Like, it's basically the same thing. We took a little bit different approach to the format, and I think it's going to be exciting. Now, I could come home with zero arrows, and I might be pissed off. But I'm pretty excited about TAC and these videos that we're going to be filming. None of you guys are wearing your new merch. I guess, Jake, you haven't got yours in yet. Pate, what the heck? I didn't express ship that for $43 bucks.
Dude, your hair. you look like Cat Williams.
Beast mode. Anything else on tack before I do a merch update?
Negative.
All right, negative. Ghost Rider.
Coming to the meetup.
So, yeah, coming to the meetup. Be looking out for that on the Instagram story. One more thing before we go. We do have some new Hunter's Advantage merch available on huntersadvantagemerch.com. We added a new funky patch, or funky buck patch is on some of these cool rope hats. We got them in black. We got them in army green. And then we have the original HA logo patches, camo and black on black.
Don't you have that patch on this hat?
I do. So we have super limited supplies of things because we're a small business. And I don't know if you've seen FedEx shipping prices or how much a freaking hat costs without a patch on it, but they're crazy. So we only ordered 5 of those black Richardson 112s with the funky patch. And I think we only have 3 of those left, but they're on the website. So if you want to get one of those ones, I think they're one of the better looking hats, to be honest. I'm kind of sad I didn't get more of them, but I think there's 3 of those left. And then there's a few left in every color, I think, but we're running out pretty quick. I think I shipped 7 or 8 hats out yesterday, and that's where we're at. Go check them out, though. huntersadvantagemerch.com. We'll catch you guys in the next one. Bye.
Jesus loves you.
Thank you guys so much for checking out the Hunter's Advantage podcast. If you enjoyed the episode, make sure to leave us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, or wherever you listen to the podcast. Thank you guys so much, and we'll see you in the next episode.